This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, let's get Hobo in here. Where's Hobo?
I'll go fetch him.
All right. The recently published Global Wellness Index put our alarm bells on. We found out that South Africa scored really poorly for life expectancy, for alcohol use, depression, and for diabetes. And when stacked up alongside the G20 nations and the 20 most populous countries on Earth, South Africa, once a shining beacon of economic growth, came stone last. Now, to raise awareness and combat this, premium health and wellness brand Biogen, in conjunction with Retroactive, which is Ben and Mike Sharman, they're doing, I suppose you could call it an interesting experiment, but they're also kind of documenting someone's journey here. James Hobo Hobson has been on a transformative experience of weight loss. Hobo's on his way from 130 kilograms to aiming to complete the Durban 70.3 Half Ironman in June of this year. Seems like an audacious goal to achieve, but this is one that showcases exactly what more of us need to know. Authentic wellness needs to be a priority for all of us. Needing a healthier life is achievable. So, Hobo, welcome, dude.
I feel like you need theme music, bro.
Hello, Mike Sharman. How the hell are you?
Fantastic, and you? Thanks for having us.
Yeah, Sharmanator's here, too. All right, so, Hobo, first of all, welcome to the show. I feel like I know you because I've been watching all these videos of you waking up at ungodly hours and going for runs and shit.
Yeah, pretty much.
It sounds like it's been, it's been an interesting journey, but it's also been very difficult. You've had Ben following you around with a camera, which can't be pleasant.
That's probably the worst part about it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, if you don't keep moving, I'm going to have conversations with you.
Exactly. I'll catch you and have conversations.
It's kind of like keeping up with the Kardashians, except it's Hobo.
Keeping up with the Hobsons.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, Hobo, first of all, you started at 130 kilograms. How the hell did you get to 130 kilograms?
Living the good life, I suppose. Well, the old good life.
Were you eating
alcohol,
a lot,
food,
drinking
yeah,
a lot?
Love food. Okay. Love the odd night out and whatever with the boys. But yeah, sort of cut that back now.
And were you plucked from obscurity by Mike Sharman because he has a vindictive streak, or because he actually thought you would be a great example of what we can do if we all get our lives together and kind of be more conscientious about what we eat, exercise, what we drink, how we can do interesting things, incorporate like healthy stuff into our lives and make our lives better and lose some weight at the same time?
I think it's just love.
You think it's love? Yeah, I think it might be vindictive.
No, it's all set with good intentions. I took Hobo to the worst experience of his life about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago.
What was that?
We went to a nutritionist, and she wanted to make him eat like pea-sized portions 6 times a day. And he was like, not a chance. I'm not going down that route. So we quickly lost that opportunity. And then about a year and a half ago, we met Brandon Fairweather, who's the marketing manager of Biogen, and said to him, like, we have a really out there kind of concept. We're going to pitch it to you. And I said, Hobo, listen, I'm using you as the guinea pig. Sorry, man. I'm going to just send me some pictures. I had a picture of him when he was 18 and a current picture.
Sure.
And
some of these pics weren't overly flattering.
Well, he's guinea sized now.
He's never going to see it. He's never going to see the pitch deck because it seems a little bit harsh. But yeah, we pitched it. And we said, here's Hobo. He's a foil for South Africa's health issues. And we want you to be the brand that helps power him over the finish line. He's never run a 5K before, and we're going to get him over the finish line at the Half Ironman. And when you look at it on paper, it's intense. And even today, we still don't know if he's going to finish or not. Like, that's what creates the drama.
Okay, so this is a real-life drama playing out. Ben has been documenting part of this journey as well, and that means like a lot of intimate kind of getting into Hobo's space, getting into his life, getting into his food, recording stuff. Most of us don't want this stuff to be published.
Yeah.
You've got to be tough as nails to let these people take advantage of you like this, Hobo, because they come in, they film you fucking eating, they film you running. Most of us would not want people invading our space like this.
You definitely wouldn't.
It's very brave of you.
Can I just reel this back a little bit, okay? Because the guy's life is changing for the better here. We're taking him from a place where he was not in a good trajectory.
He's taking himself, and you documenting it, Ben.
But the whole thing is, it's like we are trying to find the positives from these things. So we don't often, I don't invade him in his private time. It's very well managed. But it's about making sure that we always have relatable content. So if you're in a position just like Hobo, looking to change things.
And there are a lot of people who are.
There's a lot of people like that, of course. So what we're doing on behalf of Biogen is saying, like, this is what wellness can be. So I structure this with Hobbo, and we look at it in a certain way. So I say, like, what are you doing this week? And he'd be like, well, I'm going for a run here, I'm cycling here, I'm seeing this person, that person. And a cool thing is that throughout this whole process, Hobbo has been around these different professionals in different things, from nutrition to biokinetics to coaching.
Yeah, I mean, you've had access to some experts the rest of us wouldn't normally have. So yeah, that's obviously helped as
so,
well.
So we have made it kind of fun for him, because every time he's doing these things, mm-hmm. again, no, he's not smiling right now. Every time he does these things, it is taking him further because he's learning something new as well. So it's not just like, you know, me putting a camera on him.
So Hobbo, what's been the best and worst experiences you've had over this period so far? And you've obviously still got a way to go, but so far.
Oh, the worst is probably the sort of eating. I think, you know, I loved my food and I still love my food, and it's being very conscious about what to eat and how much to eat and things like that. I mean, that's been probably the toughest thing. That's more of a mental thing than just going and banging out 5Ks, you know. That's,
I don't know, dude. I mean, like, I can't, I did a race of 3Ks once and I felt like I was going to die, and the idea of having to do that again would be like being sent to a Vietnamese prison. I think that that's the bravest part of this, and I see you running in these videos that they've made. Hashtag Biogen Journey, by the way, if you want to find them. They're all over social media and on YouTube. I see you running on these things, and you look like you're actually having a good time.
Yeah, I think that's just smiling for the camera because Ben's saying something stupid.
Oh, right.
What's the superior editing?
running is the worst part of the exercise. I was a swimmer in the good old days, and I sort of don't mind the swimming.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of the guys struggle. I've got a few mates doing this 70.3 with me, and they're battling with the swimming at the moment.
Hey, did you hear about those two people who died in the Ironman?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to be careful. You can't just take to this and think that it's easy.
Yeah, and that's the thing. A lot of guys, they jump into the sea for the first time doing one of these triathlons. They've never swum in the sea. They've literally swum at the gym and watched the lanes. Yeah. Or they've swum in a lake or a river. And swimming in the sea is a completely different level.
Jeez, I mean,
it's trying to wrestle you to death while you swim in it.
Yeah, 3 years ago, they
canceled. It's like swimming in a million wrestlers.
It's like swimming upstream with little thousands of big, large salmon all climbing all over you.
Morning salmon, even, which are the best kind.
And that's the thing, is like, you know, people get into the sea. They had to cancel the swim a couple of years ago in Durban and change the course because even the pros were getting pulled out with jet skis. Like, it was just so intense. And that's the thing, is like, if anyone's doing this for the first time, like, they actually have to be aware of, like, what is the sea like? How does it feel? Because people panic and then their hearts redline, and that's kind of what happens to a lot of these guys for the first time in the sea.
Yeah, but saying that, even in the gym, I mean, there was a guy pulled at the gym.
Yeah, by the cleaner. There was a video that's going viral. Yeah, like, this cleaner was just sweeping, and then dude was doing laps, and the next minute he just started drowning, and the cleaner jumped in and saved the dude. So,
and there's only like one third of the pool where you can't just stand. Like, I mean, it's only the end bit, like, you just stop swimming and stand up.
Yeah. Yeah,
shame, but not
the sea. You don't have that.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, I'm quite confident with that, which is a good thing.
All right. So how do you get down from 130 kilograms? Give us a basic gameplay here, because we can see the videos to get the specifics. But, you know, all of us are, without, you know, with a very few exceptions, let's say, most of us are unhappy with our appearance. Most of us want to do something, even if it's just shed a couple of kilos. Maybe it's a whole lot. Maybe we want to just get a bit fitter, feel a bit better. So how did this even begin for you, and where do you go?
So, I mean, I think a huge thing is in nutrition. I was eating a lot of crap, burgers, pizzas, you know, a lot of carbs, which is not great for, I suppose, most people. But, I mean, not everyone. Some people can eat carbs.
Yeah, sure.
But also was the amounts of it, you know. So essentially it's calorie deficit. So I was put on a program where I'm on intermittent fasting, so I don't eat for 16 hours in the day, which sounds hectic, but it's not really. You know, if you eat at 6-7 in the night, at night, then you're eating 11-12 the next day, or 12-1
o'clock. It's not so bad. People can do that.
Yeah,
I think so. Anyway,
one third of the time you're eating and two thirds of the time you're not.
Yeah, essentially. But I mean, I generally didn't eat huge amounts in the morning anyway, so that hasn't been a massive change. And I'll have a coffee in the morning, which is fine. But it's also watching what you eat. You know, like, we've replaced at home pasta with zucchini noodles and butternut noodles and things like that, to try cut the carbs out. I mean, that's made a huge difference. And then obviously the exercise. You know, I'm exercising probably anywhere between 1 and 3 hours a day. six days a week. So I get one day off, so I can still play golf on a Saturday. But
which I also is think pretty it's exercise-y as well. Yeah. I mean, golf you walk a lot.
Yeah, but you know, it's not getting your heart rate up and things like that.
I also think it's his consistency. I mean, he's done it in 24 weeks, so it's been
pretty impressive.
It's been a 6-month thing, you know. Like, and I think so many of these stories tell this like. It's typical brand of 2019, leverage an influencer, tell the story, get on the cover of a fitness magazine. With Harbo, he's a regular guy. He's not an influencer. He's a regular human
being.
But
this is why I'm kind of impressed with Biogen that they got this. So what is their involvement here? I mean, what did Biogen actually do? I don't know a lot about the company.
Yeah, so it's an in-house brand for Dischem, and it's a supplement brand. And they really are dedicated to – they don't want to just make you clap gym butts and, like, as Gord will talk about, like, just – get massive muscles and leg groups.
Creatine and maximum reps, but reps to failure, upper body only, till the veins are like ropes in your face.
Big day, but.
So no, I've never say blasphemous, but. And talk about that kind of shit in the morning. I'm also trying to get up.
And I think, you know, their thing is like they are committed to actual, like, legitimate health and wellness within the South African market. And the marketing manager, he's even directly involved in looking at the sugar content that goes into these things. Because that's the problem with a lot of people's exercise routines. Even though you're gymming and you're working out, there's so much sugar content in the stuff that you're consuming. So it's actually having the reverse effect.
And it's kind of a cliche is not the word, but it's kind of an old idiom in exercise and dieting and that kind of thing, that you can't outrun a shit diet. And I mean, there's health benefits, numerous health benefits to exercise that are very important. And obviously with weight loss, it amplifies that. But you could lose 100 kilos never exercising if your diet was fine-tuned enough. Similarly, you could be training like you are 6 days a week, 1 to 3 hours a day. And if you're smashing the pies hard enough, you'll gain weight.
Yeah.
True. So what you put in, what you eat, and your nutritional supplements, you're talking about Biogen and that kind of thing. I mean, that's critical. If you don't get that right as a base, you're fucked.
Yeah. 100%. And I mean, I see it if I have a bit of a loose weekend. You know, I've put on 2 kilos on the Monday.
Sure, that's a horrible feeling. You get on that scale. And you see, I don't even like to weigh myself from this point of view. I got on the scale the other day. I'm 92. Now, that's probably
92 kilograms of handsome.
No. But that's, for me, about 8 kilograms too much.
Well, I don't want to say it, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting a bit porky, so I need to now sort this out.
You always look the same. You don't age. You've got Lego hair. Stop complaining.
No, this is a problem. So everybody feels this. This is what Charmin's so smart about, because by working out that Hobbo represents kind of a lot of us, we all have to lose something. We all have to gain something. We all have to try and get ourselves a little bit healthier. I think it's brilliant.
And what's amazing is, like, we go to events and people come up to him like, "Hey, are you Hobbo?" Yeah. You know, so he's like, he's kind of created
becoming
this
a celebrity
cult following of people that they're like, he's not a celebrity. I can be like that. And the same thing is, like, with that hashtag that you mentioned earlier, like, we're encouraging people to share their journeys, whether they're going to do their first park run or get off the couch and walk the dog. Like, whatever your thing is, everyone's got their own journey. And we've got about 600 people that have already submitted images of the stuff they're doing, from going to Comrades or climbing Kilimanjaro or the basic park run kind of thing. And that's what's been exciting, is, like, he really has been a foil for a lot of people's issues.
So, Hobbo, what's it like working with Ben? I mean, we don't know how that feels.
You want the honest answer?
We got enough time, eh? Yeah, 17 minutes. Let's go.
Go on.
Yeah, interesting.
No, don't give me one of those answers. Tell me the truth.
Tough.
Is he a pain in the ass?
He is a pain in the ass, yeah. All right. And so, then he gets quite emotional about things. And,
emotional?
On what level?
All sorts of levels.
Emotional?
So you're being defensive, Ben. That's emotionalness.
Good point.
How dare you say that I'm emotional?
No, but I mean, look, I can always take criticism.
No one can see this, but he's sitting here with his arms folded, very, very defensive.
Yeah, the thing about Ben...
elaborate, please.
Ben tries to put on this, like, this facade of being curmudgeonly and was actually a nice oak, and he hates it. He hates the fact that he's actually a nice oak that cares about people and doesn't hate everything. Most things, but not everything.
All right, so you think you're going to maintain this progress after the Ironman?
Yeah, I hope so. So I'm looking at
as soon as Ben's cameras switch off, you're not going to let yourself go again.
Well, he told me he's going to take a break from me for like a month before we see each other again socially. What happens in that month? Well, who knows?
Well, I don't think that's a bad thing.
Or taking a break. That's
like a Facebook status change.
Oh, that's also like the first step. It's like saying, listen, I'm just giving you a heads up about the breakup. I'm not suddenly breaking up with you. I'm breaking up with you later.
It's a gentle breakup.
Is taking a break fat oak speak for I'm going to get fat again?
It's hitting a pie, having a little bit of a relapse.
Do that, Hobbo.
But in seriousness, though, like, having this goal to do the Ironman, I find, because, I mean, my problem, I'm actually quite good at losing weight. I just, I tend to find it again. I've lost, by my tally, 230 kilograms in my life, and I find it in pretty. It's a question of how long it takes, and that's pretty soul destroying. And then to get the wherewithal to do it again is something that also you need to build up to. But I have targets. You've got this Ironman thing. I'm trying to do 1 kilo a week or better. Then I'm going to Europe in June, and I want to be 25 to 30 kilos lighter than when I went in January, because that's like, it's a 5 month period, 5.5 month period. It's short enough to really feel the comparison. There's no scenario where I started 170 in January and I'm thin in June.
Yeah.
But I will notice the difference in the seat, right? And then I've got another trip in October, which is to a warm place, and I want to be less hot and sweaty and less hateful of my life. And with
less seatbelt extensions.
That's still going to be a thing for a while. But the idea is 50 to 75 weeks, and I want to try stay ahead of that pace car. So to just go, if you go, I got to lose 70 kilos, that feels like an impossible goal. But if you're going like, I need to lose one a week, and anything better than one is like super exciting. And then I want to be thinner on the plane in 5 months than I was. So like, you've got this half Ironman, which is that like a half man who's iron or a man who's half iron?
Stick to the story, Gordon. Okay, so you're doing so well. You had to try drop a bad joke. Yeah, you were doing so well.
It's my nature, Ben. No one criticizes you for being mean and horrible and shitty and only liking golf. But what else? What else do you have and after cats. after the man who's half iron? How are you going to keep goal?
So I'm waiting for Mike to actually buy a mountain bike, and then we'll look at entering mountain bike races. I thoroughly enjoy that. You've
already signed up for like Wine to Wales and Bergen Bush. We're doing so. What's been the most exciting thing is like people keep asking that. What happens next? What happens next? And the thing is like he's setting these markers that are consistent needs for actual training. So you can't just like require to. Oh, cool, I've done half Ironman. Now I can just go and just tickle along and not train.
Hobbo mentioning now you really like to mountain bike. That's another thing that I think is important, is that you've got to find that bit of exercise that's not exercise for exercise sake. Mm. Obviously now doing the grueling stuff, you said you don't like the road work. That's in service of your goal.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, I love to box. I'm never going to be a competitive fighter, but I thoroughly enjoy it. Yeah, no, absolutely. But you've got to let X know that you're an alpha male, and that requires sometimes backing up your words.
You've got a butt fight.
Yeah, a straight butt fight. But I really enjoy it. Like, it was misery the first month that I went back to boxing after ages away from it, because you can't breathe, you can't move. It's hell. I think if there wasn't such a barrier to entry for exercise that it didn't make you feel worse when you start, everyone would be in good shape, because after you get past that phase of this is like, please kill me,
once you've had a
you
few
actually
vomits.
Start really enjoying it.
Yeah.
So it's like, I feel bad, I need to exercise to feel better, but first exercising is going to make me feel worse. You got to know that that's a message people need to get. Like, unless you have some physical limitations, exercise will make you feel great.
Well, it's like a rehab for fatness. Like,
so get on a bike.
You go to rehab for drugs and your body wants to die. Like, you have to go through hell in order to recover. Yeah. It's the same with being overweight.
But even just sedentary people who like are, you know, not physically very fit, whatever, don't have necessarily a weight problem, but getting active, like the cardio, your lungs burn. But yeah, the point I was going to get to is if you love mountain biking, embrace that, because finding something that for you is fun.
Yeah.
Is important.
Yeah, if you hate it, it's never going to work.
Unless all right,
so Shaman, how did your book do, dude? It feels like ages ago since you brought it out.
Thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, it's been pretty awesome.
How's it going?
You know, Rich Mulholland said to me, writing a book is the best business card you'll ever have. And I'm sure you've experienced that as well. It's like...
No, I hated it from beginning to end. But that's...
Yeah, writing it is a terrible experience.
No. The reason I'm asking is because I keep bumping into people who are reading it. People who say that they love it. So it's obviously having a massive...
It's all because of your forward that you taught me to spell. Thank you. But you know what's been interesting? It's like I've also...
He said, please do the forward for me.
F-O-R-W. As opposed to the forward.
Listen, I send him a WhatsApp, like, don't hate. Anyway.
I can write good.
And then, you know, it's been interesting. I turned it into an audiobook. So I spent a couple of days narrating it, and then it went live on Amazon and through Audible and a few other sites. And yeah, I mean, it made into like the top 100 new releases on Amazon, which is pretty amazing. And every day on Instagram, I'm posting snippets on hashtag 365 soundbites for startups. And then I'm taking little snippets from the book so people can like have bite-sized information daily around starting a business, the hardships, the up and downs of entrepreneurship life, and then some of the kind of hacks that I've incorporated into this business. And it's been an exciting journey with Ben and Retroactive in particular.
Well, it's interesting, and I'm glad you're here because Ben never talks about this stuff. So tell me about Retroactive, because this is a new business entirely from what you've been doing up to now.
Sure.
Tell me what the basic idea is, who's involved, because we're not going to find out from Ben. He's trying to pry open a clam.
I can give you some tips.
Ben and I have known each other since 2010. In 2011, we went to the New Zealand Rugby World Cup together, and we documented content for MasterCard about witnessing history. And Ben and I have always just had a mutual interest in sport. Hobbo and I, we actually lived in the UK because of a super fan competition, and we went and watched cricket and rugby, and we kind of like in my passion.
We actually came to your old radio station.
Yeah,
he was dressed in a mankini.
Yeah, were you there with him?
Yeah,
Hobber?
I was there with
him.
Wow,
God, so I've known Hobber for a long time too. Then,
yeah, it's
tangentially,
been ages.
Right.
And Ben and I, about a year and a half ago, we went on this mission. We thought, let's build a tech product where we can analyze brand sponsorships and if they're getting the value and the best value out of it, and what does that look like comparatively with competitors. But then we realized, a lot of marketers, they don't necessarily have the time. It's not always about them being lazy. It's just the fact that they're doing so many things, mm-hmm. and now editorial rooms have contracted and so many different parts of marketing has downsized because of cost cuts and economic downturns. Mm-hmm. So we realized that wouldn't be a smart play to dump money into a platform that people weren't going to necessarily use. So over the years, Retroviral had kind of touched on some sport elements, and Ben and I were always looking at opportunities to leverage the sport side of things because we feel like too many agencies don't have people that are obsessed over sport.
Right.
So we said, let's take a Retroviral model and roll it into sport. And I was fortunate enough to be at school with a guy called Brian, who happens to be a Rugby World Cup winner.
A banner.
That's right. And Shaga Sisulu and I are in partnership at Retroviral. So we said, let's create this awesome foursome and go out there and see what we can do. And what's been exciting is that all the learnings from Retroviral and almost 9 years of that business, we've kind of just escalated the speed at which we've reduced the headaches for this new startup. And in our first year, we'll be finished now at the end of June, and we're probably at the level where Retroviral was after 3 years. So it's been really good.
Nothing beats experience.
Yeah, the great thing is that we've also got like a body of work. Hobber's that body. Right there,
Did you ever think that you'd be referred to as a body of work, Hobber?
Hobber basically embodies the kind of things that we want to do as an agency, and seeing him make this progress is like it's so much better than just having work or just doing something because we had an idea. Like, the guy's a living example of an idea and how you can make things happen.
Well, it's all happening on Sunday, the 14th of April. He will be competing in his second Olympic distance triathlon in, of all places, the beautiful town of Germiston.
The bustling metropolis.
Yeah, just wear one of those dust masks because you're Germiston full of
and a hazmat suit.
Filthy people and dreadful things.
It was just Mistin before people went there and made it gross.
Oh, then it became Germ.
Yeah, Mistin. Got it, but
one of the big remaining events in preparation for the Ironman. Good luck, Hobber.
Thanks, guys.
And also this Saturday, if you actually want to meet Hobber in the flesh, he'll be running up and down the Westcliff stairs like a machine.
From
8 until 10 in the morning. And you can literally come and hang out with Hobber, and you might even get featured in the next episode of the Biogen Journey.
How many stairs? How many times are you doing that?
7,000.
But I mean, obviously you guys
have no idea.
Obviously you guys have got your bro dynamics, and it's like it's all in good fun, and Hobber takes a bit of stick and whatever, but and is saying like Ben's been making you do this and that and the whole thing, but I mean you no one can do it for you. You've obviously put in some seriously hard yards. And I mean, I know what that's like, and you've lost an incredible amount of weight, and like all giving you shit aside, You're a hard bastard, Hobber.
Yeah, thanks. Mm. But I mean, I think it also helps with this whole thing and being filmed. You know, there's people now that are watching, and
like you're accountable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To not only Mike, Ben, the guys at Biogen. You know, it's people. It's random people.
Yeah. So Polo mates, shout out to the OJ Eagles.
All right, thank you. That's enough fat people stuff for this morning. Thank
I do that
much.
As well on Instagram.
Yeah, I just go to there is a website you can see everything about.
Well, let's go have a fat support group meeting after this without these skinnies. Because
yes,
what do they know?
I've had enough of you fat.
Half man.
If you go to biogen.co.za/biogen-journey, there's Hobber in all his glories.
This is CliffCentral.com.